This is Insight on Business, the news hour for Wednesday, December 25th, 2013. My name is Michael Libby, and we're glad you're here. It's Christmas Day. Although late in the day, and we suspect the gifts have been exchanged, the Christmas meal has been eaten, and now it's time to settle in and get ready for a work day tomorrow. While millions and millions of people celebrated the Christmas holiday, millions did not. And that's what we've got for you today. We thought it might be interesting to visit with some individuals who are not celebrating the Christian holiday of Christmas, so we've gathered some friends of the NewsHour together and asked them to share with us what their story is and what they did today. While 33% of the world's population identify as Christians, that leaves a bunch, some 67%, who are something else. They may be of Islam, Buddhist, Jewish, Sikh, or no religion at all. And that's where we begin our conversation. We sat down with our friend Bruce Stone, who says he's not an atheist, but a realist. We talked Christmas in general and religion in specifics. Listen in. Welcome to the NewsHour, Bruce.
Good evening, Michael. How are you?
I'm grateful that you made the trip, and I'm well, thank you. So let's just go ahead and put it out on the table. You don't celebrate Christmas?
Well, we exchange gifts.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I buy gifts for the puppy, and I buy gifts for the kids, and I buy gifts for the wife.
Okay.
But no, I do not recognize any of the religious beliefs or traditions of Christianity or Buddhism or Islam or any other group.
And that's because you're an atheist.
Not really.
No,
atheist is the term that a religious person would use to describe me. I'm actually what I would consider a realist. I believe in reality.
And tell me about that.
Well, my view of the world is really very simple, and it is the world consists of physical properties and the things that science can define and that I can define with my senses. Beyond that may be all kinds of wonderful things, but I have no way of comprehending them or dealing with them. Therefore, I pay them no attention whatsoever, don't acknowledge them, and what I can see, feel, hear, and touch is what I'm interested in.
So it's a reality thing for you.
I'm very much in the tradition of the humanist reality-based folks. Probably the closest religion I would come to, and it's not even really religion because they don't have a theology that applies to a deity or like that, would be to – I'm sort of a Buddhist-type thinker.
Okay. Yeah.
I do believe in cause and effect. I do believe that there's a case to be made that if you set enough bad things in motion, bad things will happen to you. But I think that's a far cry from there's some guy up there with a firebolt that's making that happen for you.
Is there that here in the Midwest, many individuals have a very deep-seated religiosity about them. When you're in conversation with people, do people look at you a bit askance and go, my gosh, a person that doesn't believe? How can that be?
Are you kidding? Really? No, I've been called a demon. I've been told by one of our mutual friends, our ex-friend, I should say, an acquaintance, I guess, that I should believe in it because it's a very cheap belief to buy into, doesn't cost me anything, and if they're right and I die and I claim to have believed what they taught, that I will still go to heaven, and if I don't, it doesn't matter what I've done in my life, I'll never be good enough and I go to hell. I got to be honest with you. That's where all my friends are going to be, so it's where I want to go anyway. I also have a pet peeve here, Mike.
Sure. This is yours. Go.
I live in a world where Christians pray for me every day.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, you're, I believe, Jewish, right?
I am, yes.
Yeah. How would you react to me saying that I'm going to go home tonight and perform a satanic ritual to make you believe what I believe?
Well, that's an issue, and quite frankly, and lots of people don't know much about Judaism either.
Right.
But in Judaism, we believe that everybody, on a religious plane, everybody has a share in the world to come, whatever that world might be. But we don't segregate it. You know, it doesn't belong just to us. It belongs to everybody. And it's almost kind of a Buddhist thought process that we don't have the corner on true faith.
And we don't think anybody else does really either. However, we find it interesting when people who are of whatever faith denomination it is say that their way is the only way. And then you have to start questioning, well, what about everybody else? Are they wrong? You know, so some of that doesn't make sense to us.
The rest of us are demons.
Apparently. Apparently.
So well, they tell me anyway.
This is a day that that we've been preparing for here in the United States for nearly 3 months. For a full 90 days before Christmas, there's much hullabaloo about the holiday. And I think I saw a post from you just the other day that you were calling out, or someone, one of our friends was calling out the issue of where is all this love and devotion? And when somebody either gets shot at a store trying to pick up a low-cost television or something like that, and it's become so materialistic anyway. Is that something that you would...
It's more than that.
What's that?
They have this unique position in Christianity, and somewhat in Islam, I would say, as well, but mostly in Christianity in this country, this idea that they have this unique privilege in life to do whatever they want to do, and there is no culpability. Hmm. I think it comes from that philosophy that says... You can do anything as long as on your deathbed you say, I'm sorry, and the big guy up in the sky says that's okay and wipes it all clean. But it comes from a place that says we have privilege, we are in charge, we are 88% of the population, more or less. We have set up this holiday as a government-sponsored holiday, even though that's blatantly illegal, and we have the ability to enforce that, and we shall.
And enforce it is. Now, so are you one of those people that would be defined as waging war on Christmas?
Oh, I would wage war on it if it weren't quite so silly, Michael. I mean, let's put Christmas in its proper perspective. We have a bunch of people who say they have faith in a divine entity, mm-hmm. who says in no uncertain terms that pagans are people to be despised and cast out of your lot. And yet, on December 25th, we celebrate a pagan ritual that the Romans started as Saturnalia, and enhance it with German pagan symbols. For instance, I notice you guys have holly and greens in your studio.
That's right.
That's a Germanic tradition that the early Christians eschewed. Understand, Christmas was not celebrated for the first 200 years of Christianity.
Really?
The early Christians believed that you celebrated the death date, not the birth date of people.
Uh-huh. Well, then somebody figured out we could make money. Is that
well,
it?
Well, that and it became a question of, after Constantinople in the early church, yes. It became a question of how do we get politically acceptable with Christianity, because Constantine very much wanted Christianity to be a state religion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the Romans weren't buying any if they had to give up their naked women and their pagan festivals.
Right.
So they sort of combined the two.
So let's market something that's going to be accessible to the public.
Yeah. I mean, again, let's talk a little bit about things like lights on trees and houses, which come directly from the pagan holidays in Eastern Europe.
Where they would light trees on fire.
Yes.
Yeah.
To light up the night, yeah, because otherwise the fairies would come get your children. Yes, they had some odd beliefs too.
So the belief system that we've all come accustomed to on celebrating this particular day has got some roots in some pretty shady spots, and do you say bah humbug?
No, I say it's just silly.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same argument that I make to people that say, you know, Christianity is all about love and caring. No. Christianity has a very simple, basic tenet. It starts in Genesis, and it runs throughout the entire philosophy. And that is, ignorance is good, knowledge is bad.
Mm.
Now, if you believe in that, I'm all for that. You go for that and enjoy yourself. But let's talk about for a minute, what happens when you say to people, our core philosophy is, we were sitting in this garden, we were well taken care of by a paternal figure who kept us all happy and nice and made us all play well together. And then we screwed up, and that paternal figure kicked us out and said, you're too ignorant even for my garden. What does that say about people? What does that say about your view of the world? It says you value ignorance over knowledge. It says don't bother with science, because science will just get in the way of our good faith. Christmas is much the same thing. We've adopted pagan traditions in what advertises itself as a Christian country, even though it has laws that specifically forbid it to be a Christian country. in a 21st century where it is relatively simple to prove that there is no Santa Claus, there is no God, and there is no no basis for a December 25th birth date for Jesus Christ, the historical figure. Hmm. And yet, every Christmas, we go through this thing.
But you do give presents.
I do, and I take time off from work.
There you go.
It's about the only time I can get off work. Yeah.
Bruce Stone, ladies and gentlemen, sharing some thoughts from the other side of the world, if you will, about what December 25th might mean or where its origins are from. Thanks for spending some time with us, Bruce.
Not a problem, Michael.
Enjoyed it.
No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no country that isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, or brotherhood of man. Imagine all.
Imagine a world at peace, without the divisiveness and barriers of borders, religions, and nationalities, and to consider the possibility that the focus of humanity should be living a life unattached to material possessions. Thank you, Bruce Stone, for sharing some thoughts with us. We'll continue our Christmas Day special in just a few minutes. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour.
And the world.
Support for Insight on Business, the NewsHour, comes from Mr. B Clothing. Clothing for business and leisure. Rick Davis Loans, home loans made easy. And Merit Resources, where they carry your employee's backpack.
This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour, and our special Christmas Day broadcast. In the first segment, we heard from a non-religious person, realist Bruce Stone. But there are others who may be religious, but don't celebrate the Christian holiday of Christmas. I'm Jewish, and I thought it might be interesting to visit with my good friend Mark Finkelstein about what he and his family do on Christmas. So, what's a Jewish Christmas like? Listen in.
And with us in studio is Mark Finkelstein. Mark is with the Jewish Community Relations Commission, a longtime director of the commission here in Des Moines. Tell us a little bit about that group. Why is there such a thing as the Jewish Community Relations Commission?
Well, at one time, the Jewish community was somewhat isolated from the rest of the general community. We remember the stories, for instance, of in very old days where the Jewish community had to build their own hospitals in order to have physicians practice or to set up their own firms and other in other areas. And even when Jews and other minorities were not welcome at the country clubs, they had to build their own country clubs. So when times get better, the community said, we'd like to have good relations with all different communities on issues of mutual concern.
And those issues of mutual concern generally revolve around equal rights?
Civil rights and, in many cases, the adequate separation between religion and state.
Uh-huh.
And more specifically, in terms of the Jewish community, we're concerned about anti-Semitism and bigotry as a whole, and supporting the State of Israel and Holocaust education.
And there's lots of things that the commission does outside of the realm of just advocating for specific things. There's lots of educational opportunities that happen as well.
Yeah, we have book talks, and we're on different panel discussions promoting diversity.
Right. Well, to the question of the day, today is December 25th, big day for Christians.
Absolutely.
So do Jews really eat Chinese and go to the movies today?
Well, first of all, I want to wish all my Christian friends a Merry Christmas. Not a Happy Christmas, it's a Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
It's a Merry Christmas. Yeah, in many communities dating back for several decades, at least, I know the big communities, people do congregate in Chinese restaurants because those were the only places that were probably open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And in other communities, they tell me they go bowling as well.
There you go. There's a new tradition.
That's true. So it's filtered down to some communities where community members do congregate and order in Chinese food sometimes and show a movie. And other times, you know, the Jewish congregation send out crews to assist with the serving of Christmas meals or anything else we can do to help on a day in which most Christian people are busy with friends and family.
And there are a number of Jews, and I remember doing this myself,
yes,
volunteering to work when I was, you know, I'll go ahead and work on this day so
why
that
not?
You know, so that my Christian friends could have the day off. Besides,
yeah,
it was sometimes double time.
That's true. But it doesn't mean we understand what Christmas means to the Christian community, and we applaud them for being the best Christians that they can be. And, you know, we share with them sometimes the understanding that Christmas has to do with Jesus Christ and not simply Santa Claus or the selling of gifts. And our hearts are with our neighbors.
Well, it is important, I think, for people of the minority faith group to understand the majority faith group and at least have that recognition of, okay, we recognize that this is a holy day for those of you who follow that tradition. And at the same time, be comfortable in our own skin saying, well, that just doesn't really apply.
Well, it doesn't apply because we don't believe in the tenets of Christianity. And, you know, I might venture to say that I grew up in New York City in Brooklyn, New York, and lived in a Italian Catholic and Jewish neighborhood where we live comfortably with our Christian neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It so happens on my particular block in Brooklyn, New York, there were 7 apartment houses. I remember as a kid walking down the street and passing certain houses with large plastic creches on them, followed by several houses with Chanukiahs, the menorahs for Hanukkah. And I found that was very comforting to know that people cared about their tradition, whatever it was, and were kind enough to wish each other happy holidays.
Right. It's one of the things that I know gets confusing sometimes for people who aren't necessarily Jewish.
Yes.
Oh, Hanukkah. That's a Jewish Christmas.
Well, you know, Hanukkah is within the framework of Judaism a minor holiday. It's a beautiful holiday. It's a family-oriented holiday. But when I was a kid, Hanukkah meant giving gifts. And my grandmother would give us a nickel for each day or something. That was a big deal. So this has become one-upsmanship in many cases where, you know, Jewish parents feel that their kids are being bombarded as they are by Christmas cheer, and this is some way to compensate.
So, and even though it's such a minor holiday.
It's a minor holiday.
And interestingly enough, in Israel, for example, it's relatively a low-key holiday. You know, and here you come to the United States, and I know my Israeli friends are just
What's
awestruck.
Going on?
What? The world is
what
going
are you
on.
Doing?
How can we get blue lights and, you know, big Chanukiahs and all this stuff? What's going on? Yeah. So, that's a big deal here.
However, you know, even in the malls of Israel, you do have Hanukkah lights and the trappings that in the United States would be Christmas trappings.
Right.
And it's always good to be in Israel for any of the holidays to see how people observe to whatever level they do as the majority population.
So your family, what December 25th tradition do you follow?
We've never gotten into really the Chinese food shtick, but we have a nice meal together. For many Jewish families, the whole period of time culminating on the 25th and the 26th has more to do with bringing family members together. Kids are home from school. You know, the parents are off of work, and we have a nice meal together.
Yeah, and some of us can even go to our offices and close the door and actually
get some work done.
That's
right. And, frankly, the day after when many people are still on vacation, a lot of us work to begin with.
Yeah. Well, it keeps us sane at any rate. Mark Finkelstein, ladies and gentlemen, he is the director of the Jewish Community Relations Commission, kind enough to come in here and have a discussion about the Jewish faith and what he'll be doing today, the 25th day of December. Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year.
Take care.
Katrinke mein einziger Chave in mein neuten Pein. Sieh nicht kein Tachlis, in sich nicht kein Ziel. A Spiel des Leben, a narrischer Spiel. Kickt nicht, wo's ich, a Katrinchik bin. Mein Leben hat euch an Inhalt in a Sinn. Ich will sitzen dorten, wie ihr sitzt a Zint. Dreh ich die Katrinke in Stürmen in Wind. Drei, Katrinke mein einzige Chave in mein neuten Pein. Sieh nicht kein Tachlis, in sich nicht kein Ziel. A Spiele des Leben, a narrischer Spiel. Gehat, a Taten, a Mame pink wie ihr. Hinger in Neut, in Pein und a Schier. A Weg von der Welt, geblieben bin ich allein. Dreier die Katrinke, in Kritz mit die Zein. Drei, drei, Katrinke mein einziger Chavel in mein neuten Pein. Sieh nicht kein Tachlis, in sich nicht kein Ziel. A Spiele des Leben, a narrischer Spiel. Groschens Verschodene, ihr herrscht mit der Welt. Der wer's hat euch, der's heint a Held. Ich darf euch, ich miss euch, ich hasse euch zugleich. Ihr müsst euch auch doch bitten, ihr Verschodene, verreihe euch. Drei, drei, Katrinke mein einziger Chave in mein neuten Pein. Sieh nicht kein Tachlis, in sich nicht kein Ziel. A Spiele des Leben, a narrischer Spiel. Drei.
Thank you, Mark. By the way, we had to play some klezmer music for you. Mark is part of the popular Des Moines klezmer band, the Java Jews. Now you know something you perhaps didn't. Stay with us. We've got more coming on this special Christmas Day edition of the NewsHour.
Support for Inside of Business, the NewsHour, comes from RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts, with offices throughout the Des Moines Metro, the Fireplace Superstore, where comfort and good looks happen, and the Computer Club. You want your computer to work, and they can help.
Welcome back to the NewsHour. When we were sitting down thinking about sharing faith traditions other than Christian on our special today, we made the decision to reach out to the Sikh community. Sikhism is a fascinating faith, and we're grateful that Baljit Singh agreed to come by and share something about his celebration of Christmas. Have a listen. With us in studio is our newest friend, Baljit Singh, and Baljit is of the Sikh faith, and he is from New Delhi. New Delhi.
Yeah, I originally from
New Delhi. And so we're going to talk a little bit about his faith and give us a little bit of an insight on his holidays and what in the heck is he doing today on the 25th of December. Welcome to the News Hour. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. You've been here. You work at Wells Fargo in the IT department. Tell us a little bit about your faith. Well, first of all, let me ask, what are you doing today on the 25th of December?
Actually, 25th of December, Christmas. Sikhs do not celebrate Christmas for its religious purpose, but they decorate the house. They decorate the house with lights. They give us chance to celebrate just for fun, like put up the Christmas trees. My kids, they play the game Secret Santa in the neighborhood. So we do the get-togethers, and we have our Christmas evening parties. But these are, it's not as a religious point of view. It's as a cultural point of view.
It's a secular celebration, and you're celebrating the season with others.
Yes, because we have a lot of Christian friends. So we do their houses. We exchange the gifts. So we do this.
Sure, of course. Baljeet Singh, ladies and gentlemen, he is a Sikh. Let's talk a little bit about Sikhism, if we can. What are some of the tenets of your faith?
Actually, Sikhism, it's a monotheistic religion. So this is founded in 1469 in Punjab, India. The main aspect of Sikhism is the equality.
Equality.
Yes. Equality of men and women. Huh. Men and women, we treat both of them equal. Woman has equal status as man. Equality of mankind. We treat everyone equal. There is no discrimination allowed in terms of caste, race, sex, color, education, wealth, etc. People of all religions and races are welcome in our Gurudwara, Sikh temple.
So anyone can come to your temple?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So equality of all religions. Sikhism conveys the message that everybody should respect their religion. All religions are equally good. If you are Christian, you should be a good Christian. If you are Hindu, you should be a good Hindu. Sikhism does not preach conversion.
There is no conversion preaching. I know that's very similar to my faith in Judaism. We also do not preach conversion at all. And that's because, correct me if I'm wrong, your acceptance of all religions have a share in the world to come.
Yes, this is true.
Mm-hmm. With regard to that, you have specific celebrations that are of major import for you?
Yes. As per religious point of view, we do celebrate the festivals. Our first great master, Guru Nanak Dev, we celebrate their birthday.
His birthday.
Yeah. There is in April, we celebrate Vaisakhi. It's the birthday of Khalsa.
The birthday of culture?
Of Khalsa.
Khalsa.
Khalsa means the baptized Sikh.
Okay.
In Diwali, we celebrate the Festival of Lights. On that day, our sixth great master, Guru Har Gobind Ji, he released from the prison along with 52 other princesses. They came to Amritsar on the day of Diwali. So we celebrate the birthday of our 10th Guru, Guru Gobind Singh Ji. So these are the main festivals.
Main festivals. And how do you celebrate those festivals?
Okay. In our Gurdwara, in the Sikh temple, we read the Holy Book, Holy Scripture. That Holy Scripture has 1,430
pages. 1,430
pages.
Mm-hmm.
We start the reading on Friday morning, and nonstop, we read it for 48 hours.
Oh my.
So on Sunday morning, it finishes us, and then we have a big celebration on that day. There's a special food, and there's a special hymns, professional singers comes from other states, and we do that.
Very nice. And so these celebrations, it's interesting, isn't it, that most of all of the faith groups that we've talked to about their tradition all include food.
Yes.
Got to eat, right?
This is true. Even in our service, on every Sunday, after service ends with the free food. We call it langar. It's a community kitchen. So everybody sits together and they eat the same vegetarian food. Everybody sits together on a floor. And the reason why we sit on a floor, because nothing is lower than the floor. And we should live our life down to earth.
Live our life down to earth.
So that's why everybody sits on a floor. And there's no discrimination. Everybody sits in a row and they eat food together.
Mm-hmm. Are there specific prayers that are offered over the food? Before or after?
Yes, the prayers we do before the food.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Once the prayers are done, then food starts.
Got it. Well, it's interesting, you know, because so many people know nothing about other faith groups, and we thought it would be enlightening, I think, to point out to so many people that, you know, not everybody celebrates the 25th day of December in the same way. But I found it interesting that you, as many of the people of my faith as well, they'll put up a tree or they'll put up some lights, and, you know, there's some question about that assimilation, about assimilating into the other culture. But I think it's more about being festive than anything else. And, of course, in Sikhism, this whole idea that no one is better than anyone else is very important. Now, there's a couple of interesting traditions with regard to Sikhism. One is that's very noticeable, and sometimes people mistake Sikhs for other members of other faith groups, and that's because men in Sikhism don't cut their hair, and so oftentimes wear a head covering to cover that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Our 10th guru, Guru Gobind Singh, he gave Sikhs a unique identity called the Articles of Sikhs, Articles of Faith. He gave 5 Articles of Faith to all the Sikhs. It's one of them is Kesh. Kesh means the hair. So this he told that no one will cut their hairs. That's why if you will see all the Sikhs, they have the big hairs.
The long hair.
Long hairs. So that's why particularly turban and beard, because the turban, we put a turban just to cover our hairs and even beard. These two are the main cause quite a bit of confusion.
They do cause
to the
confusion.
People.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Have, and I hate to ask this question, but I'm going to because I think because I know what the answer is. Have you felt discrimination with regard to how you dress or how you look?
In Des Moines, Iowa, I did not. Not even a single time.
Very nice.
But I have heard that in big cities, yes, there is a discrimination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, myself, I have not.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, Des Moines is such an interesting, open, and welcome community. And it's one of those last places, I think, of a city this size where anybody has, as long as you are a good person and you do well by others, You can do anything you want to in this community and survive and thrive at the same time. Talk to me about your family.
In my family, I have two kids.
Yeah.
And my wife, her name is Navroop.
Navroop.
Navroop Kaur. She works for Computer Science Corporation. She's in IT department.
Of course. what is it? You guys are all wired into the IT world, aren't you?
And my daughter, she's in 11th grade. She's a junior. She goes to Valley High School.
Valley High. Mm-hmm.
Her name is Lovjot Kaur. And my son, Sukhman Singh, he goes to Indian Hills. He's in 7th grade.
It must make you proud to have children that that are also Americanized. They were... your daughter or your son was born here, I would suspect. Yes?
Yes.
Your daughter was not?
Yes.
Yeah. And how is that for dad, having a very Americanized young people in the house?
See, that depends on parents. How they raise their kids.
Absolutely.
So the same way, even my kids, they can read our holy book. They can sing the hymns. They can play the piano, harmonium. And as per the Americanized, yes, they know everything. They are good in studies. They are good in their religion also. So I'm proud of my kids.
Yeah, you're proud of your kids. Well, that's always the sign of an excellent parenting when they can be in the culture, in the society that envelops them, but also be true to their particular faith, even if it's a faith of such a minority status as Sikhism here in the Des Moines market. So tell me, how many families, how many Sikhs, how many temples are there in Des Moines?
In Des Moines, we have two temples, and they're around about, there will be 70 to 80 families we will have within a 50 miles of radius.
Is the Sikh community growing?
It's not growing as much. Mm-hmm. Because when I came in 1999, at that time, there were 50 families round about.
Yeah.
But in last 12 years, hardly 20 to 25 families.
Yeah.
They grew.
Yeah. Have come. Yeah. Well, it's one of those kinds of things, you know, that... I'm sure that you followed a job to come here, and we're quite fortunate in this market to have weathered so many of the storms that other parts of the country economically have fallen by. Well, thank you, Baljeet, for coming in and visiting with us about Sikhism, about what you're doing today on the 25th, opening presents and looking at lights and having fun with your Christian neighbors. I think it's fascinating, and we're so grateful that you took the time to come down to the studio to share some insights into your, your very beautiful faith. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks.
ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦਿਲ ਦੀਆਂ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਖਾਲਸ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦਾ ਰੱਬ ਯਾਰੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਨ ਨਸੀਬਾਂ ਵਾਲੇ
ਖਾਲਸ ਲੋਕਾਂ ਦਾ ਰੱਬ ਯਾਰੇ ਦਰਸ਼ਨ ਕਰਨ ਨਸੀਬਾਂ ਵਾਲੇ
ਮਨ ਆਪਣੇ ਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਮਨ ਆਪਣੇ ਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਨਾਲ ਜੋੜ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਲੱਭਦਾ ਏ ਰੱਬ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਅੱਖਾਂ
ਦਿਲ ਦੀਆਂ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ
ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਲੱਭ
ਰੱਬ ਦਾ ਏ ਰੱਬ ਤੇਰੇ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦਿਲ ਦੀਆਂ ਦਿਲ ਦੀਆਂ ਕੋਲ ਬੰਦਿਆ
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines, a partner for closing held companies. West Bank of West Des Moines, for business, they're West Bank strong. And the Warren County Economic Development Corporation of Indianola, Warren County is open for business.
So there you have it, a special Christmas edition of Inside on Business. The last record is titled, O Evil Man, Who Can Help You? Some thought-provoking ideas about a relationship with God. Thank you, Baljeet, for coming by the News Hour. And thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the best of the News Hour program. Seems everybody wanted off for an extended holiday. We hope you've enjoyed our look at religion outside of the Christmas holiday. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, our technical director, Dustin Halderson, our liaison with the Des Moines Radio Group, Mary Sayer, and the voice of the News Hour, Jimmy Olson. I'm Michael Libby, wishing you the very best this Christmas Day and beyond. Be safe, be well, be careful, and most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.